Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's time for WEEI at Night with Brian Barrett.
Plan A was Kimba Walker and Enes Kanter.
This was probably Plan D.
He's the reason I wear number 11.
I want to be the reason that no one else will.
Dial 617-779-7937.
If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. He either needs to move on or we can meet. One of the two. He says he wants to move on. Stop talking about it.
Now, it's time for Brian Barrett on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, away we go. JD from 103.3 Amp Radio with us. What's up, man?
What's
You're
up,
double
man?
Dipping tonight, huh?
That's right, man. Back in the trenches.
Yeah.
Back in the trenches.
So would you already do a five-hour shift now you're coming over?
Yeah.
You're messing around
just
tonight, man.
Upstairs. Yeah.
Any, like, coffee, five-hour energy, anything along those lines?
Yo, for real, the five-hour energy, I did that when I was doing overnights, and I can't look at it the same. I, like, want to puke my brains out.
Yeah, I just took one, by the way, so.
Yeah, I used to do overnights, and then I used to go to my lab at, like, 8:30 when I got off.
Oh, wow.
And so, like I said, the five-hour energy brings me to a dark place. So I admire you if that's your life.
Yeah, I like the five-hour energy. It works quick. You know what I mean? It's fast. I don't feel
super fast.
Yeah. Free endorsement, by the way, if you want to sponsor. By the way, the number is 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board, all the stuff's still on the table. Chris Sale, David Price, and Dennis Eckersley, any of that stuff. The Celtics, Plan A was Enes Kanter and Kemba Walker, apparently all that on the table. But I want to transition to some of this Rob Gronkowski stuff that's coming out over the past couple of days, and it feels like it isn't going away. So, J.D., Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, yesterday, he said, or 2 days ago, I should say, he thinks there's a 40% chance Gronk returns this season. Rich Eisen says there's a 100% chance Gronkowski returns at some point this season. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Does he look like a guy that wants to play football?
No. And to be honest, I don't believe – I honestly believe Patriots fans don't want him back.
Really?
Like, I don't think they want Gronk back. I think it's like you look at it as a reboot situation. It sounds great. It's great for conversation. But I think he's not checked out, but he's lost a little bit of weight, right?
A lot. Yeah. And he looks thin, man, doesn't he?
He's happy, dude. He's like living a solid life. His chick just got on, you know, Sports Illustrated, the cover. There's no real – I haven't seen really any, like, signs of him – really wanting to come back. And I don't believe Pats fans really want him back. I don't.
See, I think the fan base wants him back just because there's nothing left at the tight end position, right? So you look at it right now. You're looking at a guy, Matt Lacoste, who is a journeyman from Denver. And then you got Benjamin Watson, who the best part about this, JD, is this dude was the tight end before Gronk was the tight end. So he's the tight end. Then he goes off and plays for a bunch of different places. Now he's 38. He's going to be the tight end after Gronk. And he has to serve a 4-game PED suspension, if you will. So he's not going to be back until week 5 of the season. So I feel like the fan base is like, man, what are they going to do with the tight end position? Because when I look at this team heading into the season, you look at the roster right now, there's not a lot there for Brady to throw the football to outside of Edelman, who we can depend on. They draft N'Keal Harry in the first round, so you're hoping you get something out of him. But from a history perspective with that, the rookie receivers haven't worked out with Brady. Now, Harry's the first guy Belichick's drafted in the first round, but I feel like the fan base wants it back because there's not a whole lot for Brady to throw the football to.
Yeah, and I went to ASU, so I got a good look at Harry all year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and you'll be really surprised. He was the guy at ASU. I mean, he catches everything. So I think he's probably going to have a really surprising breakout year. I think you're going to see a lot from him. But people just want Gronk back. I'm telling you, I think it's just conversational piece. You're going to miss him, obviously. No one's going to replace him, what he gave you on the field. The hands are bomb, you know what I mean? But I don't see it, man. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and the reason I think you're right that it's not going to happen is, I mean, you just look at the guy. You allude to the fact that it looks like he lost a lot of weight. I mean, he's now apparently he hasn't lifted a weight since
good
he
for
just,
him.
I mean, I wouldn't either if I wasn't going to play That's it. He's talking about his whole life. He had to basically since he's been 18, he's been weighing around 265 to 270. So he's been having to stay at that weight. So that means, you know, he's squatting, he's benching, he's doing all these lifts every day. And he said, you know what, enough's enough. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to be in the gym every day. I wouldn't either. Now, he's still keeping up working out. Like, obviously, he's doing some kind of cardio because he's still in really good shape. But it seems like to me, when I look at Rob Gronkowski, the thing I fear about him is years ago with Tiki Barber, when Tiki Barber decided that he wanted to retire, he decides to retire and he was still, like, in his prime. Like, he's still producing at a high level. And then, like, 5 years later, he decides he wants to come back, right? And he tries to make this comeback in 2011, and everyone's like, we're not signing you, man. I am fearful that that's going to happen to Gronk, where Gronk's going to be, like, he's happy doing his thing now. He's, like, America's guest. He was on that Pyramid show, which was hilarious the other day. He's done a bunch of the late-night shows as well, JD. So I feel like, from that perspective, like, he's having fun now. But I'm worrying if he's going to try to make a comeback too late. When he tries to come back, it's like, yeah, that's not Gronk anymore.
Yeah, and I think it would hurt his brand, too. I think if he came back and he didn't produce, because I don't think he would produce at a level that he did, just because he'd be out of that groove and kind of mentally out of it. He's doing all these other things. I mean, he might not be physically working out, but right now he's getting a mental workout, doing all these shows, going all over the place. I've seen him in celebrity basketball games. So I don't think, not only, it's easy to say from right here to tell someone to go out there and put their body on the line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and especially considering the fact the guy's like literally never spent any of his NFL money. Like, apparently he just uses his endorsement money for like his walking around money.
Right. No, I honestly think it would hurt his brand too. I think it's you miss him. We would probably want Brady back too if he did the same thing as Gronk and went out like that. It's like, oh, we need Brady back. Can you make a comeback halfway through the year? I don't see it, man. I think it hurts Gronk's brand and his brand himself, and I think he just has put his body through too much. That's the point.
JD from 103.3 Amp Radio is with us, 617-779-7937, with you for the next about 2 hours or so. So now when you look at it from a bigger, broader picture now with this Patriots team, and in particular with Brady, this stuff in the offseason that's been going on with Brady is very uncharacteristic. It's very un-Brady-like, right? So he posts the picture a couple of weeks ago of him throwing the football 61 miles an hour, right? And the highest recorded time at the combine is 62 by Josh Allen. And they started recording it in 08. But nonetheless, he posts that picture on Instagram, and then he writes on it, fall off a cliff, like taking a shot at Max Kellerman, right? And then he posts a video of himself running the 40 that was faster than the 40 time he ran when he was actually coming out of Michigan, when he was like kind of out of shape, looked a little doughy or whatnot. So he's doing all these things. Then he was going at a guy on Twitter the other day, Hippo's Rhino or something like that, Hippo something, whatever, some random Twitter guy. He had 100 followers at the time, I'm sure. Hippo's Razor, that's his name.
Brady responded to that?
Yeah, Brady responded to it because they were talking about the Madden game, and Brady was a 96 in the Madden game, right? So the highest quarterback was 97. It was Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And some guy on Twitter was like going at NFL Yahoo's account saying how, oh, Brady, how is Brady a 96? He can't run. Like, everybody in high school can run faster than him. And so Yahoo Sports NFL's account posts a picture, probably because this, and it's like Brady holding up 6 rings, right?
Ooh,
like on his hands. And then Brady gets back at him and says, I'm much faster than you, Mike. The guy's real name, Mike. So Brady's going back at him on Twitter. But it's just weird to see an offseason, and I don't know what to make of it, that Brady, for like the first time ever, JD, he's been above all this stuff, right? Like, he's never responded to people. He doesn't do any of this. So why this offseason is he going at Max Kellerman on Twitter, or Instagram, I should say? Is he going at a guy with a weird Twitter account that's a Jacksonville Jaguars fan on Twitter? Why is he posting pictures of himself throwing the ball 61 miles an hour? Why is he posting videos of him running the 40? Why is he doing all this?
Because it's fun, and it's helping his brand. He's been doing this the last couple years. I mean,
but not to the point where he's like going at people. You know what I mean? Like, he's been doing stuff with his brand, like the Facebook Watch show and that type of stuff, the documentary, but not like going after people. You know what I mean? Like, not like going after Kellerman that has called him out several times. Like, he hasn't been doing that, like, to use, like, clapping back, if you will, the term that Wiggy always uses. He's got the clap back corner in the studio here, like that type of stuff. He doesn't usually go at people, because how many times have people said, oh, Brady's slowing down? You got Rob Parker calling him the luckiest of all time. He usually doesn't go back at those type of people that call him out for what they perceive as poor performance or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, he's a competitor at the end of the day. So, I mean, he's just trying to find anything. I mean, these guys at the tail end of their career, I mean, you think of like maybe even someone like Kobe Bryant, who's just trying to figure out something in the last, whatever's left in the Gatorade bottle. You know what I mean? He's just trying to use that to the, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to say really to that.
Well, I got a theory. So here's my theory on this. Yeah. So if we look really since 2005-ish, right, it really became, or 2004-ish, I'd say. Because remember, the first couple of Super Bowls was kind of like Brady was not really Brady yet. Like, he was good, but he wasn't Tom Brady, best quarterback of all time. So at that particular point in time, it was about the running game and the defense. And then like 04, 05-ish, it became about Brady, right? And then since then, it's been all about Brady. And it seems like now, if you look at this team, they're morphing into a team that's going to be more run heavy. We mentioned the fact Gronk's not going to be there anymore. So you think about it, 2 years ago, they draft Sony Michel in the first round, and he has a great postseason. They draft Isaiah Wynn in the first round to be an offensive lineman who missed last season, but now he's back. Damian Harris, they draft in the third round, another running back this year. So it seems like from my perspective, Brady realizes that they're going back to being more of a run-heavy team than they've been in previous seasons. Like last year they went from, 2 years ago they were 10th in rushing attempts, to this year they were 5th. And now with Gronk out of the lineup, you'd expect they're going to be running the football even more. So maybe this is Brady putting it out there like, look, if my numbers dip off a little bit this year, it's not because I don't have the ability that I once had. See, I'm still throwing the ball 61 miles an hour. I'm still running a faster 40 time than I used to run. So it's not about me if my numbers dip off. Maybe he wants it out there that, like, I'm still the same player, but maybe I don't have the same offensive weaponry, if you will, around me.
No, I agree with that. I know I agree with that 100%. And Brady's not throwing mad deep balls down the field. I mean, he's throwing 60 miles. All he has to worry about is throwing 1 to 10 yards. I mean, he's dumping it off. He needs a quick running back. So I think that's always been an important part of the game. It's always been – have you noticed it's probably the last 4 or 5 years, just shorter passes? That's what the offense is looking like all the time. But I think with Harris this year, you're going to see a different Brady. I think this is going to be one of his better years. I think it's going to be better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch this team and see, like, how he's able to get on the same page with – a rookie wide receiver, because this is the first time that Belichick has ever taken a receiver in the first round. And the way that I looked at that is, N'Keal Harry, I understand that he is highly rated by most people and people think he's going to be a stud coming into the league and all this. But if you've gone through this for so many years, as Bill Belichick has, and he's never selected a receiver in the first round, from my perspective, it's more from desperation than it was from, okay, this guy's definitely the one guy in my whole career that I'm going to take in the first round. I think what happened was they missed out in free agency, right? They were looking at Golden Tate. He got overpaid by the Giants. I still have no idea why the Giants gave him so much money on the other side of 30, because they're not a contender. But anyway, that's the Giants. They're dumbasses. We can all acknowledge this. But then Cole Beasley, they don't get him. Adam Humphries, the dude that goes to the Titans, they originally were in on him, and he decided to go to the Titans. So I kind of feel like Belichick making that pick in the first round for a receiver is more out of desperation than anything else. So how is Brady now going to adapt to new weapons again? Because we know he's done it in the past, but he's always had two of the three, right? So I look at it over the past probably 5, 6 years. Amendola, Gronk, and Edelman have been like the Brady guys. And now Amendola is not here again this year, obviously. He's playing elsewhere. Yeah, but Hogan, he kind of sucked last year. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like the main three Brady guys have been Gronk, Amendola, and Edelman over the past couple of years. And now you only have one of them in the equation. Mm-hmm. So who is going to be that guy after it? Now, I understand White out of the backfield, but who's going to be that next receiver that comes in and plays well? Because Demaryius Thomas coming off an Achilles injury. Maurice Harris, I never heard of the guy until Patriots signed the dude. I mean, he came out of nowhere. Washington didn't want him. So how are they going to develop more of a passing game with those guys out? And we can't depend on Josh Gordon because we don't know if he's ever going to be on the field again.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this place has been begging for like a star wide receiver. So no, I agree with you. They whiffed in free agency. We've been begging for a name out here. So I think Harris is going to be the dude, man. I really do. Go ahead.
No, it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. And Brady now, like, it's almost like you've tried to figure out ways to motivate yourself at this particular point in time when you're now 42 years old. But, like, Brady knows, like, for his brand purposes, right? Because he came out and he said, I'm going to play till I'm 45, right? So Brady, like, for his own brand, like, he has to make sure that he performs at a high level for the TB12 brand, if you will. So maybe back to your point a little while ago, maybe this stuff about, like, I'm questioning why he's doing all this stuff on social media. Maybe part of it is he's trying to find ways to motivate himself, because I have to imagine that you go through this, right? So the past couple of years, he's been an MVP of the regular season. He's won two out of the past three Super Bowls. In the Super Bowl he lost, he set the record for the most passing yards. So maybe this is Brady trying to motivate himself in the offseason, because there's not anything like on the field that he can prove. Like, he already has the most.
He's done everything.
Right. He already has the most Super Bowl rings ever. So maybe this is like, man, maybe I got to go to the well. Maybe I got to find something else to motivate me. So, oh, yeah, that Kellerman guy. Hey, Tom, he's been calling you out for like 6 years. You want to acknowledge this now? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Brady wants to find some way to motivate himself, because it's not like, okay, Pat Mahomes is looking at it now. He's just emerging as a star in the league. I lost in the AFC Championship. I got to find a way to get over the hump. Phillip Rivers is like, I finally got to get a Super Bowl ring. Brady's like, I got six of them. Maybe this is just some way that he's trying to motivate himself.
Maybe this is who he's always been, but because of the way Belichick just kind of runs the house, he hasn't been able to really truly be himself. And this is who he seems pretty comfortable whenever he posts something. Like, you know, he likes taking the jabs. Like, I feel like this is who this dude is behind the scenes. Like, the guy chugging beer, like the stories that you hear. I think this is finally him saying, you know what, man, I'm kind of coming to the end. I need to build this brand, because his brand wouldn't be as big if he was doing some of these extra things that just kind of carry on when he retires. So I think this is stuff he's always wanted to do, and his team is probably telling him to embrace. Like, hey, yeah, you need to embrace this, man. You know, with the hype videos, it gets the fans involved. This is something I think he's been wanting to do it.
Those hype videos are sick.
They're the best thing out in the town.
And when he gets, like, all the other guys in the town to, like, say stuff on, like, Chara was in one of them. He got Mookie Betts, yeah.
He had Ortiz in it. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to get.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like, not to sound like a corny fan, but when he posts those things before the playoff games, I'm like, let's go. Let's go.
Makes you want to push someone's groceries over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You want to go to the grocery store.
Well, I don't know if I want to push groceries over, man. I think that could be a crime.
But you feel me, though. Though I think he's been wanting to be this dude for a while, and he's finally able to kind of express himself. And these are the times, man. This is how this guy's going to make extra money. And to sell that TB12 brand, he needs to start getting uncomfortable. You know, he needs to start posting some things and creating some conversation. And I think it really does motivate him in the end.
Yeah, and another thing that clearly has helped him is getting Garoppolo the hell out of town a couple of years ago, because Brady wanted to prove that he was still the guy. Because everything that would tell you about everything that Bill Belichick has done in the past would tell you that he would have traded Brady before Garoppolo, right?
100%.
Because he usually, even though it wouldn't be true with Brady, like, you usually get rid of a guy a year too early rather than a year too late, even though Brady, I mean, we can't really judge when this guy's going to age, because quite frankly, we haven't seen it yet. But everything that Belichick's done in his previous behavior, based on moves he's made, the Richard Seymour trade, etc., or even like he didn't want to pay Chandler Jones, so he traded Chandler Jones away. Everything that Belichick has done in the past would tell you that he would have moved on from Brady rather than Garoppolo. But now it's going to be sweet for Brady to be like, okay, because he knows that Bill probably would have acted that way, right? So it's going to be pretty sweet for Brady to know, like, okay, this guy that was going to replace me is now out in San Francisco. They give him all this money. Not to say that he's happy he got injured. I'm not saying that. But to say, like, okay, I'm still the far superior player to Jimmy Garoppolo at this particular point in time, that's going to be satisfying for Brady, because it would have looked awful for the organization if Garoppolo goes out there and he's playing at, like, this MVP level.
Right. And I think if there was one guy that you were not going to – I mean, I feel like – you owed it to Brady, and he would be the one player that kind of is untouchable, that you don't make that business move against. You know what I mean? Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, he won one Super Bowl. Like, yeah, he's addicted to the town and the town loves him, but it is what it is. You make that business decision. When you're talking like four or five rings, man, you might owe the guy a little sum at the end of the day.
Yeah, well,
on his terms.
Right, and with Peyton Manning too, it's like he's coming off neck surgery. We have the number one pick in the draft. Andrew Luck at that particular point in time was the highest rated quarterback coming out of college since John Elway. So mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we kind of got to do this. We kind of got to move on from Peyton Manning. But basically, like, the whole thing with Garoppolo, it felt like for those 2 to 3 years, like, when this whole drama was going on, it felt like that was motivating Brady. So maybe back to the conversation we were just having, maybe now, since the Garoppolo thing, that's solved. Obviously, Brady's still the far significantly better player. Like, he was competing with externally with Garoppolo out there in San Francisco. Maybe part of it now is he's drawing up these things from other people saying stuff about him to try to motivate himself to keep going. Like, I mean, we've heard back in the day, Jordan used to make things up that people said about him that weren't true. So maybe Brady's just like searching for this so he can get to that finish line, get to 45 with that motivation to play at a high level. And maybe he's finally embracing like the haters, so to speak, because he never has until this year.
It's got to feel good too, man. And people were chicks were upset that Garoppolo left. Let's just like make that clear. They were very upset, and Brady was probably a little upset. He's like, listen, I had this in the beginning of my career, even though I have Giselle now, you know what I mean? But I think the ladies were upset, but I mean, Brady's that dude, man. What you gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if you want to hop on board, number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on Chris Sale's start today, certainly can do that. The David Price, Dennis Eckersley situation, if you want to weigh in on that. Rob Gronkowski, do you ever see him coming back? We're talking about Brady as well. Plus, I want to get to a list and where Tom Brady ranks in the best quarterbacks in the NFL conversation. It's absolutely ridiculous. We'll get into that in just a little bit.
I still believe the Bills can win the AFC East this season.
Absolutely. What's changed? Nothing's changed. The offseason additions are still there. They still took care of the line of scrimmage. Ty Nsekhe, tackle Adrian Waddle, Jake Fisher. The line of scrimmage is taken care of. Oh, and you got Frank Gore, future Hall of Famer T.J. Yeldon. And I love the kid, Devin Singletary, that they drafted this year. They are loaded in the backfield. So, I mean, what's going to stop them other than themselves and Josh Allen talking about how mature he's getting?
But he's,
you know I'm getting there.
Threw more picks than touchdowns.
So what? That was last year. We don't worry about the past. We worry about the future, okay?
Okay, I don't even know where to start with that. That's Michael Robinson from the NFL Network. JD from 103.3 AMP Radio with me, Brian Barrett, 617-779-7937, your number. Yeah, so Michael Robinson says, what's going to stop the Bills? And then it's unreal. You can't make this stuff up. He talks about Josh Allen and how last year, I believe it was that Kay Adams on there with him? She was pointing out that last year Josh Allen threw more interceptions than touchdowns. And he says, yeah, but that's the past. We're looking towards the future. And in the same breath, he had just mentioned Frank Gore as like a reason that the Bills were going to be better because they had Frank Gore in the backfield. I mean, my God, I guess people are looking to find a way to take the Patriots off the mantle. It'd be one thing if they were playing in like a remotely competitive division, JD, but I'm sorry, like none of these teams are ready yet. Sam Darnold, not ready with the Jets. I mean, he looks like a good player, but the Jets aren't good enough to compete with the Patriots. And the Bills, I mean, Josh Allen, the best thing that guy does is run. I mean, right now he's an athlete playing quarterback, essentially. The guy's throwing the ball like way over guys' heads last year. That's why the whole thing with they brought in Cole Beasley over from the Cowboys. I don't even know if he's going to be able to throw to Cole Beasley.
That's where he ended up.
Yeah, because he's diminutive in stature, and Josh Allen's throwing the ball way over people's heads. I don't know how Josh Allen's like the thing that you're buying into when you're buying into the Bills right now.
How's the defense looking?
Defense actually pretty good. They were a top 10 defense last year, shockingly, considering that the team sucked. For whatever reason, Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, every year he's there, they play well from a defensive perspective. They picked up the kid Ed Oliver from Houston as well. It was a pretty good pick for them. But from an offensive perspective, they just don't have a lot to offer. They got two running backs that are old in LeSean McCoy. And they picked up Frank Gore. I don't really understand what the Bills are doing.
He's just a workhorse, though. Frank Gore beasted it last year, didn't he?
He's
reliable. He's a pretty reliable back. I wouldn't go to him, but I mean,
he's reliable. But when you're pointing to Frank Gore as like one of the reasons that you can dethrone the Patriots, yeah. I don't think that's going to work.
It's a solid buzzer on Family Feud. That's not on the board, like for sure. I feel for Bills Mafia, but I also don't want them to ever get good because can you imagine Bills Mafia if they were ever good?
Yeah, it'd be pretty damn obnoxious, right?
And then them coming here, it's so beautiful that the Pats have a stranglehold on them. It's so delightful when you own someone like that. You know?
Yeah. It is funny, though, looking at this division now, right? So you got Brady, who is 42. And then the three other quarterbacks in this league, or in this division, I should say, are all going to be from, like, the draft class 2 years ago. Because Rosen eventually is going to get the job in Miami. You got to at least see what you got to look under the hood, see what he has. I'm sure Fitzpatrick will start the season for them. But you got Rosen, who was drafted 2 years ago, Darnold, who was drafted 2 years ago, and obviously Josh Allen, who was drafted 2 years ago. So you got all those guys who are like 23-year-old kids, and then you get Tom Brady at 42.
Still learning, and you still have to see Brady twice a year and look him in the face, and it's just there's no shot. There's no shot. I mean, I think Edelman could play quarterback for the Pats, and they could beat all three of those teams no problem.
Yeah, probably Wildcat. Remember, he's
just
a quarterback at Kent State.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was like their emergency quarterback last year. Like, if something happened, he was going to be like their emergency, like their third backup, if you will, or whatever I guess you would label that. He was like their break in case of emergency. But the thing now, like, with Brady is he can keep playing because of the fact, like, the way that the rules are now, it's tougher to actually hit quarterbacks, right? So it's tougher to get to quarterbacks. And Brady is not like somebody that he relies on his athleticism. That's why, like, you look across the league and, like, he's aging better than guys that are significantly younger than him. Like, Aaron Rodgers has an injury every year now. That guy's always hurt.
Every year.
Always hurt every single year. And Brady never gets hurt. The one injury he had is in 2008. Now, he had a little problem with his Achilles 2 years ago, but it turned out to be fine. 2008 tears his ACL. Outside of that, Brady never. He is an artist at not taking hits. You know what I mean? Like, people mock him, like, in the national media for sometimes, like, he'll duck in the pocket. But it's like, no, he's saving himself. He doesn't need to take that hit when the play is dead. He's not going to find somebody open down the field. So what's the point of taking a hit? Like, what's the point of being Big Ben and taking a hit and then missing 2 weeks?
I think, like, the year before, though, Brady was getting crushed. I almost disagree with that. I feel like Brady's been getting annihilated.
Yeah, but you'd see there's like an art form to how he takes the hit, right? So, like, if you remember back to when Jimmy Garoppolo got knocked out of the Miami game, Brady would have never landed on his shoulder the way that Jimmy Garoppolo did. So it's almost like there's an art form where he's talked about the way that he has to embrace the contact and how he takes a hit so he makes sure, like, his body doesn't end up in a weird position. It seems like so many of these other younger quarterbacks, they end up hurting him. Like Cam Newton, dude's hurt every year because he relies on his athleticism. So that's why Brady can age so well, because his arm, as we mentioned in the radar gun, it's still as strong as ever. He gets rid of the ball so damn quickly that he doesn't sustain as many hits as other guys would.
Yeah, and, I mean, other quarterbacks in the league, Brady understands his strengths and weaknesses. He understands that the legs are not going to be the strong point, so the guy's got to be a little bit better with the arm. So I think that is his strength, so I think that's why he's been able to keep this longevity for so long, because he's not had to rely on his legs really ever. And so I think Bill has also coached him to a solid point where he's able to make that strong point of his even stronger, for sure.
No doubt. JD from 103.3 Amp Radio with us, Brian Barrett. Your number 617-779-7937. Let's get to Paul in Westfield. Paul, what's up, my friend?
What's up? Lightning round, firing three questions. Number one, Ken.
Go ahead.
And the cat is here on top of it.
What the hell was
Chris?
That?
That's the cat, the all-knowing cat.
That's that's the cat. Tell the cat we said hi.
He said hi. Question one. Cam Newton, CP3, and Russell Wilson, all very good running quarterbacks, all have three similar conditions from trying to be a running quarterback, and that is what?
Wait, who is it? Cam Newton?
Did I hear an NBA player in there? Did I hear Chris Paul in there?
Oh, Cam Newton, Russell. Who would you mean the other one, RG3, Paul?
RG3, thank you. Yes, sir.
What do they have in
common?
They all
ran a lot, and they all got what?
Money?
Well, Newton and RG3 suffered a lot of injuries. Wilson didn't suffer a lot of injuries, so I'm not sure.
Correct. Russell's the only one that didn't, but Cam and the other one got hammered because running quarterbacks don't tend to survive long. So, Bri, what you're saying about taking a hit and landing the right way, we learned that in wrestling. You can actually have someone taking you down. If you can rotate your hips, you can actually land on top of them, and that is an art form. And Tom is really good at it, and he's also really good at slipping the pocket. And better than anyone, he seems to read the defense, identify the weak side, and play away from the strong side. That's why he's really sticking around. However, Bud, last year, less than halfway through the season, he had been sacked double digits more than the entire prior season because we were having a heck of a time with our defense. So even when he gets hit a lot, he seems to really survive, like you're saying. That's a big plus for us.
Paul, and you know what I think some of that was last year? Brady was having to hold on to the ball longer than he's accustomed to holding on to the ball. Like, I don't think it was an issue with the line. I think it was more so he didn't have the best chemistry with his receivers compared to other seasons, that he was still developing that chemistry. So he's holding on to the ball too long because guys weren't getting open, because quite frankly, the receiving corps last year, even though they won the Super Bowl, wasn't great, Paul.
No, it was very rough in the middle of the year. We found Flash Gordon, who helped us out, and Gronk was in and out. Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, question two, subject switch. Now that Westbrook and Harden are together out there in Houston, and the LeBronomics is rebuilding, and Golden State is not without Durant. Who do you see as going to be in the finals next year? It seems like an open league on both sides of the league.
Okay, that's a good one. I'm saying right now I look at it, I think the Clippers are the favorite in the Western Conference, and I'm going to say that Philadelphia, I mean, I really like them from a defensive perspective, but, man, I don't know who's scoring the ball for them late in game, so I guess I'll go by default. I'll go with the Greek Freak. What about you, JD?
I think I'm going to go Milwaukee. I think they break out. I mean, it's tough to not go for Philly. I think their lineup is also stacked, but I think their bench is going to get them in trouble. I think Milwaukee will break through. And in the West, I mean, it's all about injuries, too, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Whoever's there. But the Clippers have a deeper bench, and I think they have a better starting lineup. So I would probably – God, I hate saying that I would want the Clippers to go. Because Clippers-Milwaukee sounds like the most awful – finals in the history of life. There's just that does not bring any joy to any fan, I think, ever. But though, I mean, one of them is going to have to win, I think, to get some legitimacy as far as in the NBA is concerned. So one of them has to do something.
Yeah. What was your last point, Paul?
That's a good point. Two new teams in the finals. The last point is this. There's an old adage about if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. We just witnessed the Women's World Cup break a record. Germany had 25 goals. We had 26. They've now tied Germany with two World Cups in a row. And Megan, with her 10 goals, is a record. This is the point. That success did realize itself in front of us over the last 8 years. But it was 25, 30 years ago when they developed women's soccer. The point that Brian has made about planning is key. Are we planning to get to the playoffs with this pitching staff if Sale doesn't come back and Cashman doesn't cut the cheese?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Paul. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. Like the cat in the background, you know what I mean? I like that cat hanging around.
Is that real? Or that had
no, it's definitely real. Like, yeah, it's definitely a real cat.
Well, the cue on that is pretty incredible. Like the fact that he can pretty much talk to that cat like a dog and it does
you
that.
You a dog guy or a cat guy?
I'm a dog guy. I've just never seen someone be able to have that control over a cat. Yeah,
I'm not.
Power to you, dude.
I feel like people are really like anti-cat or pro-cat. You know what I mean?
Is that what this time slot?
Really?
Is that what that brings?
Oh, well, we get some crazy sometimes. Paul's a great guy. I like Paul a lot. He's great.
No, I like Paul. Paul's
some guy the other night called up. He was absolutely hammered. He was asking me about Pedroia's Tommy John surgery. I'm like, yeah, Pedroia never had Tommy John surgery. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But to his point, I mean, if Sale doesn't pitch the way he did today the remainder of the season, then it doesn't really mean much. Anything else that Dave Dombrowski does at the deadline, anything along those lines, it doesn't matter. You need Sale, who is the $145 million man. You need him to be Sale for the second half of the season. My question is, look, he was great today. 12 strikeouts, only two hits. But again, the fastball is 91-91, 91-90, and then in the fifth inning, he went up to 96. Can he pitch that way against the Yankees? Can he throw 90 and 91 mile-an-hour fastballs against the Yankees and the Rays and be successful? That's what I'm concerned about coming up here. So, yeah, it was great that Sale got back on track, because the best thing, JD, is he didn't have to go up to the podium and say, I suck. That's what he's been doing the past couple of games. I'm a liability. So it's nice to see that he didn't have to do that today.
Yeah, and you want it to be against a team like Toronto. And maybe this is I don't want to say the word, maybe this is load management. Maybe he is reserving some of the cheese for later. You know,
well, you could
so
definitely,
he doesn't
yeah.
run out of gas.
You could definitely see that was a point today, right? Where he was pacing himself, because the Dodgers game when he pitched on Saturday night, he's coming out of the gates and he's throwing 95 and he couldn't control it. Mm-hmm. So clearly that was something he was looking at. Is like, okay, I got to pace myself throughout the start. And we saw in the fifth inning, he had the ability to go 95, 96. But I'm wondering if he can throw 90, 91 mile an hour fastballs against the Yankees and the Rays when the competition gets better, because you get the Orioles this weekend who suck. They're a Triple-A team, but then you're going to have 14 straight games against the combination of the Rays and the Yankees. That's when we're going to find out what this Red Sox team really is. And if this is something, this Sale performance today is something to buy into, because like I said, I don't want to be like the super negative guy every time I talk about the Red Sox, right? I don't like doing that, okay? But again, well, actually, I do kind of like doing it. But nonetheless, when it pertains to Chris Sale, I just need to see him do it more consistently. And that's the issue that you've had, is this guy's gotten all this money and he hasn't been consistent since he got the new contract.
No, 100%. And I think he is saving it. And he, I mean, this stretch coming up for the Sox is going to be enormous. But so I need to make sure that everybody is either on board. You either in or out right now, because once they start heating up and he starts bringing it, I think we're going to be good. I think he's going to be solid. He'll be good to go.
All right, 617-779-7937 is your number. If you want to hop on board, you want to weigh in on the Patriots. What do you make of Tom Brady and his lack of weaponry, if you will? Rob Gronkowski, do you ever see him coming back? What did you make of the Celtics press conference yesterday? All that on the table at 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett and JD from 103 Amp Radio with you right here on Late Night. All right, Brian Barrett and JD from 103.3 Amp Radio with you. WEI Late Night, number 617-779-7937. Let's get to Greg. He's in New Jersey. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you got, man?
So let me ask you a question. Do you think that because of Gronk retiring, that that's going to impact Brady's touchdown probabilities?
Like, will they have less touchdown passes because Gronk isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him having less touchdown passes. Although, what did Gronk have last year? Didn't he only have like 3 touchdowns during the regular season? It's not like he had a ton of touchdowns. So, I mean, maybe, yeah, I mean, I think it will a little bit. But look, Greg, I don't think touchdowns are like the biggest stats in the world, because now we're seeing it. Like last year, Brady made an unbelievable throw to Rob Gronkowski in the Super Bowl that ended up with Gronk at the 2-yard line. Then they punch it in for Sony Michel. So Brady doesn't get credit for the touchdown, but he set up the touchdown. So I don't put too much stock into touchdown passes, if you will.
Yeah, so you know, I'm a big Giants fan.
Yeah.
But my friend Whalepack, he's a big, he's a season ticket holder, and he just thinks that Gronk is gonna, his removal is gonna be a problem for Brady. And I, you know, Brady's aging now. You know, he's getting a little older. Even though he's the best quarterback the last.
Greg, I don't disagree with your friend that Gronk leaving is going to affect Brady. I mean, even though Gronk wasn't typical Gronk last year, he's still averaging 52 receiving yards a game. And you're having to replace that with guys like Matt LaCoste, who did nothing in Denver. And you're thinking about it, who else is going to step up? Ben Watson's out 4 games. So the tight end position, not nearly what it was for the past, 10 seasons or 9 seasons since Gronk's been here. So it's definitely going to affect Brady.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, Brady's a good guy. He's one of the best quarterbacks that ever lived, in my opinion. And I think he's going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Greg. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. He thinks he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Yeah, I'd agree. I think he is the best quarterback.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, he is the best quarterback of all time. Yeah, Gronk last year only had 3 touchdown passes, by the way. 3 touchdown grabs, I should say.
2015, he had 11, and then he went 3-8-3.
Yeah. Well, in 2016, though, he only played, like, 8 games, maybe? He ended up getting injured that season. That's the 28-3 year when they came back against the Falcons. Brady won the Super Bowl without him. So it's definitely going to hurt Brady, because when you look at it, Gronk's somebody that was just so damn reliable, even though last year he wasn't the same player. What Gronk brought to the table is somebody that Brady could always trust. He knew where Gronk was going to be, and Brady, even last year, wasn't afraid to throw the ball to Gronk in traffic. Now, outside of Edelman, who is that guy that he's going to be able to depend on? That's the thing that scares me about this Patriots passing game, if you will, heading into the season, because we saw it become a problem last year for a good 4 to 5 weeks. Remember, this is a Patriots team, and I know it sounds crazy to talk about this Patriots team and having shortcomings last year because they won the Super Bowl, but remember, they got smacked by the Titans, they lost to the Dolphins, they got smacked by the Lions. Like, they had uncharacteristic Patriot losses, if you will, where normally at the beginning of the season, we see them have, like, sometimes a slow start. Like, last year, they go 2-2. We've seen this happen throughout the Brady Belichick era. The first couple of weeks, they're figuring things out, and then they turn it on. Last year, going into the postseason, people were really concerned about the Patriots. Like, oh, I don't know if they can beat. Remember, most people picking the Chargers to beat them, which I thought was crazy.
That's not a bad pick.
Right. I thought it was.
That wasn't a bad pick at the time.
Right. I thought it was crazy just because when you give Brady the answers to the test and then you don't switch anything up, like the Chargers, Gus Bradley's the defensive coordinator there. He comes from Seattle, and they play that Pete Carroll defense, right, where it's just that zone, and Brady knows exactly what's going on. So Brady basically ended the Legion of Boom, right? He ended that group of players in Seattle. Brady basically put an end to those guys.
He didn't put an end to them, but
Malcolm Butler did?
Malcolm Butler did. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Russell Wilson put an end to the Legion of Boom.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But nonetheless, that game kind of ruined the Legion of Boom, right?
Yeah.
So Brady did that against probably the best defense of this decade, that Seattle defense. I mean, them, Denver in 2015, but definitely one of the best defenses of this decade, if not the best. So Gus Bradley comes out in the Chargers game playing the same style, but with lesser personnel. What did he think Brady was going to do to him? So you gave him the answers to the test. You didn't change anything up. Of course he's going to rip you apart, right? So that's why I didn't think the Chargers had a chance whatsoever. And then with the Chiefs game, you could see how the Chiefs could win because of the fact that they had the MVP of the league in Pat Mahomes. But again, with the Chiefs, I'm like, well, dude, this defense sucks. I mean, they are absolute garbage. And then Belichick coming up with this master game plan in the first half that threw Pat Mahomes off where they didn't score a point in the first half. And then the second half, Mahomes came alive. I mean, that's what scares me about the AFC is going forward is a guy like Mahomes.
He knows it's there.
Yeah,
it's there.
Yeah, Mahomes is just that damn good. But that's why, like last year going into the playoffs, everybody was kind of concerned about the Patriots. But then when you looked at the AFC field, you're like, really? Who's going to challenge him, you know?
And the moment Brady, remember when Brady looked into the camera and just said, people think that we're going to lose, we'll see. When he said, we'll see, and like I felt that in my soul. Like, I was like, okay, this is over for everybody. But no, I think the Chargers game was super surprising. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that whole situation unfolding. And then the Chiefs game, yeah, it wasn't close, or it was kind of boo-boo the first half, and then it really picked up.
So, yeah. And now going forward, you look at this AFC, it seems like now, for so many years, the NFC has had better teams, like a deeper conference, if you will, in the AFC, it's always been like, even like the early Brady years, you had the Patriots and the Colts and the Steelers and then the Ravens, of course. But now it's like, all right, so the Chiefs are legitimate, but they still have really huge gaping holes from a defensive perspective. That defense is not good. Indianapolis seems like, now that Andrew Luck's healthy, they're on the come up. But outside of those teams, who challenges the Patriots? I mean, I don't trust the Chargers in the postseason.
I don't trust
their coaching in the postseason. So who are the other teams in the AFC, like Houston? Deshaun Watson was absolutely garbage when he got into the postseason, not to mention the fact they got all kinds of issues going on with Bill O'Brien, and they tried to hire Nick Caserio. That didn't work out. And then you look at the fact that Jadeveon Clowney's pissed off about his contract. So, like, the thing that I look at, there used to be like legitimate threats to the Patriots in the AFC. I just don't see many of them anymore.
It's got to be a defensive team. So, I mean, would you look at Baltimore as a possibility?
I just don't trust Lamar Jackson. I mean, I saw that game that he played against the Chargers, man. Dude, he sucks.
I mean, I'm just looking at teams right now just as a refresher. The Colts, I think, will probably surprise a bunch of people.
Yeah, the Colts are legit. The Colts are legit because Luck last year, and remember, the year that the Patriots beat the Colts in 2014, that was Luck's third season in the NFL. The roster was not good. He went 11-5, and he threw 40 touchdown passes. And ever since then, he continued to get hurt. But Luck last year proved that he could stay healthy, although he performed pretty poorly in that game against the Chiefs. But it seems like the Colts are starting to figure things out. So maybe the Colts and the Chiefs, that's the two teams I look at. And look, Cleveland, there's a lot of hype around Cleveland with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield coming into a year or two. But, I mean, damn, that's a lot to put on the shoulders of the head coach, Freddie Kitchens. That dude had never called an offensive play until last year. Now he's the head coach of the team with maybe the most egos in the league.
I don't think they have any pressure on them. I think Cleveland does not think like that. I don't think they have those expectations until they actually start winning. I think they're like just – it's house money for them. I think that's why they were able to do so well last year, because you counted them out from the jump. You just didn't expect it. So I see Cleveland being okay. I don't see them being bad whatsoever, but I don't think they feel in their locker room like there's expectations. I don't.
Well,
I mean, OBJ, I'm sure, and Baker, you expect them to probably do solid, but I don't think as a team they are, like, feeling the heat from everybody.
Yeah. Well, there's kind of a honeymoon period with them, right, because the Browns have been such an inept franchise really forever. I mean, really since Jim Brown. I mean, they just been so atrocious, right? Ever since they got new ownership and moved when Belichick was the coach there and they fired him. Ever since then, it's been a mess. I mean, they've been absolutely horrendous. So this is kind of like the honeymoon period of like, finally, okay, we have a franchise quarterback finally in Baker Mayfield. And now we're starting to get some toys like Odell Beckham Jr. from to throw the football with. It seems like right now in Cleveland, they're just embracing the fact that wait, there's actually light at the end of the tunnel where we're not going to suck for the foreseeable future. They actually have hope, which they haven't had for years there. All right, a lot more to get into if you want to weigh in on where you think the Patriots are at right now. Are you concerned about the receiving core heading into the season? What do you make of the new-look Celtics and his Cantor trolling Kyrie Irving? Did you like that? The number 617-779-7937. JD from 103.3 AMP Radio with me, Brian Barrett, with you for the next hour or so right here on WEI Late Night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.